Let us pray. God of life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our minds and hearts lead us to deeper understanding of you and the love you call us to live. Amen. When I was living in Saskatchewan, particularly in farming communities, there were varying ways that time was marked. While there were the four seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter, and there were months and years, there were also two important times of the year whose dates varied a little on the calendar and a little bit where you were geographically. Those times were seeding time and harvest. And I learned quickly that those 2 to 3 to 4 week periods, that those were 2, 3, 4 week periods, and it was wise not to schedule a whole lot of church events or activities in those times. I remember one colleague telling the story about being new in ministry in a prairie rural community, and at a summer board meeting, it came time to set the date of the next meeting. Since September would likely be in harvest, someone suggested that they meet on the first rainy night in September. They all agreed. The minister thought that was a bit imprecise, because how do you put that in your calendar? But when the first rainy night in September came, everyone showed up for the board meeting. I imagine that as we gather today, we have varying levels of experience and knowledge about the rhythms and practice of seeding and harvest. I know I learned a lot in my 10 years of living in farming communities in Saskatchewan, and I learned that it is a way of life that requires trust, hope, patience, hard work, and acceptance of not being in control of all the factors that determine an outcome. Between seeding time and harvest, there were so many variables that affected the yield of harvest. In the cold and snow of winter, it may seem like a strange time to be talking about seeding time. However, as we continue our path through the Gospel of Mark, we hear the parable of the sower and other stories or sayings that use the image of seeds. Jesus begins to teach, and one of the most frequent methods of teaching that he employs is parables. Sometimes we hear parables described or defined as, well, those are just simple little stories. Well, the ones Jesus teaches and shares are rarely simple or little. They are stories that have a variety of levels of meaning. And Jesus is frequently inviting those with ears to listen. And in the listening, we use our minds to think and our souls to imagine. And in the listening across time and cultural experience and assumptions, we seek core truth and wisdom in these stories. Most of the parables are inviting us to see and to hear and to imagine what the kingdom of God is like. And what would the reign of God be like? Well, Jesus was not living in some make-believe or fantasy world. He was living in the time of Roman occupation, and so the invitation and the teaching is to imagine a way that would not be guided by oppression or violence, by falsehood or abuse of power, but a way in which dignity and respect and justice are known, a way in which we love one another as we are loved. Teaching that way was a challenge then, and it continues to be as generations have sought to follow and to know the love that Jesus revealed. The assurance and peace that is at the heart of the holy. It's a challenge because there are so many other paths and priorities and disguises of evil that affect the context in which we live. Being a follower of Jesus always involves a now and a yet to be dynamic. Now and yet to be. And so a seed is a pretty good image or metaphor to ponder. My father was once in a context where the question was asked, "What are the miracles or wonders of creation?" And he responded by saying, "A seed." In commenting on these verses from Mark, a biblical commentary, Amé Lee, reflects, "A seed is ostensibly frail. Yet given a little water, it has the power to crack open hard ground, displace stones, and fill empty space with lush, fragrant life. Though it is tiny, it contains the entire genetic package to produce a magnificent living organism. The force of life in a single seed is immeasurable, though hidden. Its growth is painstakingly slow, barely perceptible. Yet, sure enough, in good soil it grows, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Its life is irrepressible. Then one day it finally unveils its true beauty and glory." In the cold and snow of winter, a seed helps us to imagine the now and yet to be dynamic and truth of living as followers of Jesus. We are reminded not to hide our light under a basket. And so what does that mean when it comes to the image of seeding time? The parable of the sower is one of the stories of Jesus, and I remember knowing it from a young age because when I was in Cubs, I remember reading a reflection on it at a camp vesper service. And I imagine that that reflection didn't dive very deep into the richness of meaning of the parable. You may have noticed that I omitted some verses from the fourth chapter of Mark for today's reading. And the omitted verses are a straightforward explanation of what this parable means. And while in the gospel account they are attributed to Jesus, it's likely that they were a later addition to the narrative to offer a clear meaning to the story. Because, you know, sometimes Jesus' stuff can be quite confusing or difficult. So somebody said, "This is what this meaning parable means." And at that point, a parable would become an allegory. Because each type of soil that the seeds land on is understood in a simple way. And it was only seen that the listeners were soil. And that interpretation is one way of understanding this story, but not the only way. So how does this parable of sowing seeds speak to our time and context of being followers of Jesus? There are many directions of thought that we could pursue. What is the seed that we are sowing or sharing? How do we know the soil conditions? Who and how and when is the seed being shared? Who are we? The sower, the seed, the soil? On Friday, I participated in a webinar that was a professional boundaries refresher course. Every 5 years, ministry personnel in the United Church are required to attend such a refresher. And the theme of this refresher was boundaries in social media. And it was a helpful time of reflection, as 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, social media was not as familiar to me. And 30 years ago, when I was leading such workshops, it was not on the horizon at all. So one of the images that was used in the webinar was that the landscape of social media is like a new mission field for the church. And as I've reflected on that image, I was thinking of the parable of the sower and realized how we have little control over the social soil conditions of how the message we offer is received. This week, on our Facebook page, Riverside United Church's Facebook page, there was a post about yesterday's book sale. And it was a picture of the sign out by the street with the book sale details on it. Well, our sign includes a pride flag image. So somebody commented on the post about a church cannot be affirming of what a pride flag means, and offered some pretty strong words of condemnation. Fortunately, someone else, a name I didn't know, responded to that comment with gratitude for a church that would have an inclusive understanding of God's love. The conversation thread went back and forth. And when I read it, I decided to remove it. As we live in a social media world, we know that the standards of respect and of truth are diminished. And so there are thorns that will grow up and choke out sprouts of life, and that it's easy to be scorched by the heat of judgment, of anger, of hatred. And yet a presence on social media, whether it's Facebook or a web page or YouTube, is important in our time, because I imagine that's one of the first impressions we make for seekers and searchers long before somebody comes in the door. As a community of faith, we continue to seek ways to sow seeds of respect, of hope, of compassion, of dignity, of peace into our community and world. We do that through the hospitality of space where the community gathers. We do that through the working with others to serve the community. We do that through nourishing faith and caring for one another. We do that by living in the world with values and qualities of faith. And there's a lot that is imprecise about this now and yet to be dimension of trusting in God's energy and spirit that is at work. The seeds of that holy energy and love, our hope, are cast in ways that we may not even recognize or imagine. And so we are invited into the ministry of watering, of nurturing, so that those seeds have the soil in which to grow. In the parable of the sower, it may seem strange that the seeds were cast so imprecisely. Why put seeds on pathways or in rocky soil or among thorns? Well, as agents of God's love and channels of peace and sowers of hope, we don't know and can't know how and when and where truth and wisdom and love will take root and grow. One of the gifts of the webinar on Friday was that one of the other 76 people on it was a colleague from British Columbia who I had not seen for years. She was in leadership in Saskatchewan when I was first in ministry, and I've been forever grateful that some of her wisdom has taken root in my ministry. I imagine that many of us can bring to mind or to heart a word or an action that has made a great difference to who we are. And yet that person who offered it may have no idea how that seed grew in our lives. We don't know what new idea or what conversation or what prayer offered or what phrase in a sermon or a hymn or what listening ear will be a seed of hope or understanding or insight that will be heard, known, and make a loving difference in the life of a family member, a friend, or a stranger. So we keep being and doing what we're meant to do and to be as followers of Jesus, who used so many images to invite us deeper into who we are as human beings, as children of God, as lights of holy energy. So even in the cold and snow of winter, we can sow seeds, for there's a spring that waits to be. It is seeding time, for there is a field longing for hope, for love, for assurance. May it be so. Amen.